Session. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
The sixth day, Tuesday, January 17th, 2017. Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Beitman.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bovey.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Clausen excused. Clem.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Court.
Here.
Crank. Dayton, Edwards,
here.
Eklund,
here.
Ayer,
here.
Flitner,
here.
Freeman,
here.
Furphy,
here.
Guru,
here.
Gray,
here.
Greer,
here.
Haley,
here.
Hallinan,
here.
Halverson,
here.
Henderson,
here.
Hunt, excused, Jennings,
here.
Kinner,
here.
Kirkbride, Larson Lloyd.
Excused.
Larson Dan.
Here.
Lindholm.
Here.
Lone.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
McGuire.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Nicholas.
Excused.
Northrup.
Here.
Obermuller.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Pelkey. Piperinen. Excused. Ponell.
Here.
Salazar.
Here.
Schwartz.
Excused.
Excused. Summers.
Excused.
Excused. Steinmetz.
Here.
Sweeney.
Here.
Walters.
Excused.
Excused. Wilson.
Excused.
Excused. Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker,
here.
We have 51 present, 9 excused.
Thank you, Madam Chief Clerk. Lieutenant Trimmer is here today. If we could all rise for our daily prayer.
Please join me in prayer. All gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you would just be present today, that you would give guidance, and that you would give wisdom. Lord, we pray that you would just direct the work of these men and women who are here to improve the lives of those in our great state. Give them discernment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Born and unborn.
Live on!
Do you want me to take
this?
Wendy, do you want me to take this?
Yes.
And then I'm going to have those guys in my office.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you.
Do you know
who they were?
No, I don't.
Well, I think one was Long, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Was it Long?
No, wait a minute.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I was feeling under the weather, so.
Whoa!
Yeah, I know.
No way!
But Fred Baldwin already hooked me up.
Oh, good. He's the man. Shoot, darn right I did. Sir, can I ask you a question?
I don't want to lose the Indians. Oh, I love your dog.
Write him down. He's in my office right now.
I bet you Miller would wear that.
I got some donkey pictures here.
Oh, wow.
By the way, whoa.
I need TMI. Good to see you.
Have a great day.
Right on. We are at that order of business of journal committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports
that the Journal of January 16, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Garu and Representative Gray.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number 114. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 73, High School Graduation Requirements. Ayes, 9. Noes, 20. Excused, 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 7. Mr. Speaker, this is to inform you that the Senate has adopted the temporary Senate and joint rules of the 64th Wyoming State Legislature with the following amendments as the permanent Senate and joint rules of the 64th Wyoming State Legislature General Session. Adopted was SR1, SR2, and SR3. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Next order of business is introduction, reading, and reference of bills. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 147.
House Bill 147, introduced by Representative Gray, release of arrested persons under the influence.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal procedure.
House Bill 147 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 146.
House Bill 146, introduced by Representative Gray. State funds prohibit investment in Iran and Cuba.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public funds.
House Bill 146 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 149.
House Bill 149, introduced by Representative Hallinan, Lodging Tax Distribution.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to sales tax.
House Bill 149 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 151.
House Bill 151, introduced by Representative Madden, Cigarette Tax.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the taxation and revenue.
House Bill 151 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 139.
House Bill 139, introduced by Representative Northrup. School finance court-ordered placement.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school finance.
House Bill 139 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 89.
House Bill 89, introduced by Representative Pelkey, Judges of First Class Cities, Retention Elections.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to municipal judges of first class cities.
House Bill 89 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 74.
House Bill 74, introduced by Representative Lindholm, Agent Orange Health Awareness Month.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state-recognized commemorative days.
House Bill 74 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 49.
House Bill 49. Introduced by Representative Larson, Mountain Daylight Saving Time.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to daylight saving time.
House Bill 49 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 62.
House Bill 62, introduced by Representative Pelkey, Immunity for Drug Overdose Reporting.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to controlled substances.
House Bill 62 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 107.
House Bill 107, introduced by Representative Blackburn, title of Chiropractors.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to chiropractic practices.
House Bill 107 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 142.
House Bill 142, introduced by Representative Connolly, Governmental Immunity Waiver for Healthcare Facilities.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming Governmental Claims Act.
House Bill 142 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 143.
House Bill 143, introduced by Representative Pelkey, Court Reporting Service Providers.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to Court Reporting Service Providers.
House Bill 143 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 144.
House Bill 144, introduced by Representative Pelkey, New Trial Based on Actual Innocence.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal procedure.
House Bill 144 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 140.
House Bill 140, introduced by Representative Byrd, Minimum Wage.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to labor and employment.
House Bill 140 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. We are at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
House Joint Resolution 3, introduced by Representative Larson, Single Subject Amendment Resolution. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 3, Single Subject Amendment Resolution, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Biteman, Kirkbride, Olson, Pownell, Winters. Noes, Representatives Baker, Jennings, Pelkey, Salazar. Signed, Chairman Kirkbride. House Bill 50, introduced by Representative Larson, Limitations on Delegates, Constitution Amendment Conventions. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 50, Limitations on Delegates, Constitution Amendment Conventions, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Biteman, Kirkbride, Olson, Pownell, Winters. Noes, Representatives Baker, Jennings, Pelkey, Salazar. Signed, Representative Winters, Vice Chairman. House Bill 26, introduced by Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, Bark Beetle Program Funding. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 26, Bark Beetle Program Funding, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendations that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, Wilson. Noes, Representative Nicholas. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. House Bill 45, introduced by Appropriations, Judicial Branch Budget Processes. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 45, Judicial Branch Budget Processes, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. House Bill 59, introduced by Appropriations, Higher Education Fiscal Procedure Amendments. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 59, Higher Education Fiscal Procedure Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. House Bill 27, introduced by School Facilities, School Facility Property Insurance. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 27, School Facility Property Insurance, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Bovee, Brown, Flitner, Freeman, Hunt, Kenner, Northrop, Paxton, Piperinen. Signed, Representative Northrop, Chairman. House Bill 39, introduced by Education. Education, Resident Tuition Reimbursement. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 39, Education, Resident Tuition Reimbursement, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representative Bovee, Brown, Flitner, Freeman, Hunt, Kenner, Northrop, Paxton, and Piperinen. Signed, Representative Northrop, Chairman. House Bill 21, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Secretary of State Certificates of Authentication. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 21, Secretary of State Certificates of Authentication, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Lone, Sweeney, and Zwanitzer. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman. House Bill 22, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Business Entities, Communications, Contact. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 22, Business Entities, Communications, Contact, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Lone, Sweeney, and Zwanitzer. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman. House Bill 23, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Secretary of State's Office Amendments. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 23, Secretary of State's Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Sweeney, Zwanitzer. Noes, Representatives Edwards and Lone. Signed, Representatives Zwanitzer, Chairman. House Bill 103, introduced by Representative Schwartz, Housing Authority. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 103, Housing Authority, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Lone, Sweeney, Zwanitzer. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman. House Bill 112, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services, EMS Licensure, Interstate Compact. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 112, EMS Licensure Interstate Compact respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Barlow, Clem, Dayton, Garou, Hallinan, Halverson, McGuire, Sweeney. Noes, Representative Lone. Signed, Representative Barlow, Chairman.
We're at that order of business of bills on second reading.
Mr. Speaker, would it be out of order if we refer to
Representative Barlow? No, that would not be out of order. Go ahead, Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10 would re-refer House Bill 112 to the Appropriations Committee number 2. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
House Bill 112 is re-referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer House Bill 23 to your Committee number 2, Appropriations.
House Bill 22, was that, Chairman?
23.
House Bill 23 is re-referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer House Bill 40 to your Committee number 2, Appropriations.
House Bill 40 is re-referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations. Thank you. We're at that order of business of reading reference of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill number 2.
House Bill number 2, introduced by Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, an act relating to storage tanks.
House Bill 2, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 3.
House Bill 3, introduced by Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, an act relating to prioritization of municipal solid waste facilities, cease and transfer projects.
House Bill 3, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 9.
House Bill 9, introduced by Education, an act relating to public education.
House Bill 9, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 14.
House Bill 14, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, an act relating to insurance.
House Bill 14, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 51.
House Bill 51, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, an act relating to pooled fund investment loans.
Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 64.
House Bill 64, introduced by Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, an act relating to the regulation of traffic on highways.
House Bill 64, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 83.
House Bill 83, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services, an act relating to health care licensing and operations.
House Bill 83, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the
consent list for third reading consisting of House Bill 6, House Bill 7, House Bill 16, House Bill 17, House Bill 43, House Bill 71. There's one change from your yellow list, as House Bill 20 was removed to the regular file.
Are there any members who would like any of these bills removed from the consent list? Okay, I would ask the reading clerk to read the consent list bills through the enacting clause.
House Bill 6, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Principle-Based Reserving, an act relating to insurance. House Bill 7, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Credit for Reinsurance, an act relating to insurance. House Bill 16, introduced by Judiciary, Small Claims Appearance Fee, an act relating to small claims procedures. House Bill 17, Adult Protective Orders, Time Limit Extension, an act relating to adult protective services. House Bill 43, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Board of Insurance Examiners Repeal, an act relating to insurance producers and adjusters. House Bill 71, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services, Unemployment Insurance, Electronic Communications, an act relating to unemployment compensation.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Roll on the consent list. Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Bightman. Blackburn,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Bovee,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Clausen excused, Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Court,
aye.
Crank,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Ayer,
aye.
Flitner,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Furphy,
aye.
Guru,
aye.
Gray,
aye.
Greer, Haley,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Henderson,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lone,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
McGuire,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Obermuller,
aye.
Olson, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Ponell,
aye.
Salazar,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Sweeney,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
59 aye, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members,
we got to go on to each individual.
Time out. Sorry.
Now we do each individual bill.
Now, members will go through each bill now. If you want to change your vote, simply stand. Thank you.
As per House Bill 6, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As per House Bill 7, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As per House Bill 16, are there any changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As per House Bill 17, are there any changes? Gray, Itano, Zwanitzer, Itano, Edwards, Itano, Lone, Itano, Blackburn, Itano, closing vote, Halverson, Itano, closing vote, vote is closed, 53 aye, 6 no, 1 excused. As per House Bill 43, are there any changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As per House Bill 71, are there any changes? Edwards, aye to no. Closing vote. Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. That's it, Mr. Speaker.
Now, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill number 6, number 7, number 16, number 17, number 43, and number 71 have passed the House. We are on that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 19, and we have amendments. Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 19 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, what this does is change the effective date on page six. This is going from being effective immediately to being effective the same date we have most of our legislation become effective. I believe this allows time for agency and vendors, should this law become effective, to get up to speed on what the regulations are. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman Mann.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I urge the body to adopt this amendment. I think it's appropriate that we have a gap between when it's passed here and when we actually institute it.
Okay.
Question.
Okay, members, we have a little procedural backup here that we, the chief clerk has informed us of. Let's back up to where I say we're at that order of business of bills on third reading, regular passage. The first bill for our consideration then is House Bill 19. The reading clerk at that time has to read the bill. That's part of our rules of Masons to make sure it's read 3 separate times. And so we're going to back up and do this exercise again and make sure we get it right. So the reading clerk then will please read the bill.
House Bill 19, introduced by Revenue, Sales from Remote Sellers, an act relating to sales tax. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Okay, House Bill 19 now has been read 3 separate times. We do have amendments, so I would ask Chairman Barlow, move the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 19, ask for your favorable consideration, changing the effective date from the immediately, which is in the current bill, to a July 1st, 2017. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, thank you, Chairman Barlow. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I urge the body to adopt this amendment.
Okay, anyone else? Any other members for their first time? Second time. Question being called.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 19, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Amendment number one to House Bill 19, third reading amendment number one, has been adopted. We are back on the bill and now to our second reading amendment. Second amendment on third reading, and I would... Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number two to House Bill 19 and ask for your favorable consideration.
Point of order. Mr. Speaker, I object to this because I think it violates a single subject requirement, and I would ask the Rules Committee to act on this, please.
Okay, the chair will recognize that point. I would ask the Rules Committee to please come forward.
this were to act, you have to call it the schools. There is no tax due.
Yeah, it is. I mean, paragraph 11, as I read it, your new paragraph.
Which line?
Well, I'm just reading the amendment online. On 23, yeah, new paragraph.
It's not a school.
Mr. Burke,
if some sellers, as long as you buy from them, then it would be exempt.
Mr. Speaker,
this is the Fourth Amendment on that same bill.
Why don't you ask?
Okay, members, we're going to stand at ease for a few minutes, and the Rules Committee has ruled, supported Chairman Madden's point of order that the amendment as drafted really was outside in a couple areas, outside the scope of the bill, and also the single subject part of the bill. And it was more about an exemption for use tax, this proposed amendment, and not to the heart of the bill, which is about sales tax. Now, it's my understanding that there is another amendment being distributed right now. So we're at kind of a natural break. I would certainly give the bringer of that amendment the opportunity to have that heard before, so I want to give them a little time. But also we have a very special guest, and so it kind of worked. We're going to take a little time out to make sure that amendment is distributed, and we're going to introduce a very special guest to the House of Representatives this morning. So I would like you to join me in a very warm welcome for our number one cowboy, Coach Craig Bohl.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A privilege to address the floor.
Privilege is yours.
Thank you. Well, it's a privilege for me to be here. It was about 3 years ago that I addressed this body and painted a vision of rebranding cowboy football. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to give a report today of the state of cowboy football, if that's okay. Great. Very good. Well, one of the things that I addressed this group with, and quite frankly, there was much skepticism from a lot of my colleagues around the country that we needed to enlarge our locker room with members of our football team of native sons from the state of Wyoming. And I can tell you today that we have a much larger representation. Many of my colleagues said that you cannot win with Wyoming football players, and I stand before you convinced and more committed than ever that we will not win without Wyoming football players on our squad. Thank you. I know that you know the Speaker of the House is Speaker Harshman. I know him and have the privilege to know him as Coach Harshman. And it is also a privilege for me to have two key members of our football team that I've had the privilege to coach, that Coach Harshman has had a great deal to do with molding those young men. So I want to say thank you, Speaker, and thank you, Coach Harshman, for those two young men. Much was accomplished this last year. You know, we came within an eyelash of winning the Mountain West Conference Championship. Many years ago, as a young football coach at the University of Wisconsin in the Big Ten, I had the privilege to coach against a man that I admired greatly. His name was Bo Schembechler. And Coach Schembechler, while I was at Michigan, had a slogan painted all throughout campus and throughout their athletic facilities that those who stay will be champions. When we got to the University of Wyoming, we copycatted those words and placed them in our locker room and in the indoor practice facility that those who stay will be champions. Well, the future has never looked brighter for cowboy football. The University of Iowa, our opening game is right around the corner. We've got a bright, athletic, young, talented football squad returning. Along with a quarterback, it's the first time that I've been a privilege to be the head football coach. We've got a quarterback that's going to be returning too. He's a little bit of a gunslinger, but we're going to reel him back. And but much was accomplished in this 2016 football season. Many times we were on national TV. We came within an eyelash of winning the conference championship. But there's much more that was accomplished that has not been noted in the media, something that I'm personally proud of. Those members of that football team that completed the 2016 football season not only accomplished great things on the gridiron, but that football team also had a cumulative grade point average of over 3.0. Thank you very much. That's something I'm personally proud of. And that's the highest cumulative GPA that we've had in over 20 years. So while there's a sense of pride throughout the state with this football team, who's represented the University of Wyoming, represented your state, and who's had the support of this body here, while we're striving for championships on the gridiron, we're building champions for life with those young men. So I want to say thank you very much, and go Pokes!
Okay, members, so we are back on House Bill 19, and Representative Halverson is, at this point then, with our Rules Committee ruling on that amendment, Representative Halverson, I'd ask you to, if you would, withdraw Amendment Number 2. Go ahead, Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I would withdraw Third Reading Amendment Number 2. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. We are now on Third Reading Amendment Number 3. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Third Reading Amendment Number 3 and ask for favorable consideration. This is an attempt to fix one of the many problems with this bill, specifically the 200 transaction limit, at which point the provisions of the bill would apply. This is how many mom-and-pop businesses are going to be roped into the provisions of the bill, and that's how they're going to be subject to it. And what they're going to do is they're going to stop providing those products here to our fellow citizens of this great state. And the founders of our country understood this risk, and that's why they inserted the Interstate Commerce Clause into our Constitution. And this principle, the Interstate Commerce Clause, has been used by those in our federal capital city to grow power in ways that that provision never intended to reach. But the original idea was that if you had a state that was going to interfere with interstate commerce, that it would set up a tit-for-tat sort of mentality where other states would punish other businesses that were trying to import their services, and then you would slowly destroy interstate commerce in our country. So the reality here is that we need to make sure that we have interstate commerce. It's a very important part of our nation's history, and so I ask for favorable consideration of this amendment to make sure that mom and pop businesses are not subject to the provisions here.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge the body to resist this amendment number 3, and here's why. We're not talking about a business that has 200 transactions. His 200 transactions, he's a remote marketer that has 200 transactions in Wyoming. If they have 200 transactions in Wyoming, that means they've got tens of thousands of transactions in the United States as a whole, okay? So what this is a way of sifting the biggest and the most voluminous remote marketers and saying that for those kind of marketers, it's practical and it's reasonable for you to collect sales tax on our behalf. The other thing, I guess the more practical thing is that, you know, there's about 21 states involved in the same thing this year. A couple have already passed it last year. And what it does is unknowingly, if you take this out, then it puts the scratching order, the pecking order for paying sales taxes in Wyoming different than the other 23 states. Because you'd say, well, since there's no 200 limit anymore, we can have 300 in that state, and we have to remember not to tax that state, but we will tax the other 21 because they do have that number. So that's what I see as the issue with it, and I'd be glad to answer any other questions.
Any members for their first time? First time, Representative Edwards.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge your yea vote on this amendment, removing the 200 transactions and eliminating it and keeping in the dollar amount transaction. We'll fix it so there is one object that you're aiming toward, not two of them. And as he said, it will keep out the mom and pops where they have a chance to survive and do their marketing. I believe that just having the dollar transaction in it will keep it to where we have one aim that we're going toward, and when they reach that, it will be across the board on whoever reaches it. Vote yes on the amendment. Number three.
Okay, anyone else for their first time? Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to speak on and against the amendment. I hear a reference to the protection of mom-and-pop businesses, and I have 30-plus years of experience of running a mom-and-pop business in Wyoming, and I know firsthand the difficulties faced when you're competing with companies that do not have to, are not subject to the same rules and do not have to charge the sales tax. And it cost me dearly. My business survived, but many mom-and-pop businesses that I knew of did not survive that competition. Thank you very much.
Any other members for their first time? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I just want to make sure that you know exactly what we're voting on. It took me a second to actually cipher through this amendment to figure it out because it looks kind of funny once you put it into context. But really what it does, if you look on page number 2 of this bill, it deletes lines 9 through 11. And so really at the line of at the end of line 8, it says once the state, once the. And then what it does, it deletes also on line 13 the Roman numeral there, 1, and the. And so it would actually read, beginning on line 8, seller had a physical address presence in the state once the, going down to 13 now, seller's gross revenue from the sale of the tangible personal property, et cetera, et cetera. And so it leaves the $100,000 in there, but then it deletes lines 18 through 20. And what the magic of this amendment really does is it deletes that 200 transactions. That's really the heart of the issue. And if you think about this just for a moment, if you sell a, I don't know, trinkets or something like that over one of those popular online platforms where you can sell things, okay, trying to stay away from the name. But let's say you sell these trinkets for $1 each, okay? And you sell 200 transactions of those. Well, you're nowhere near that $100,000, but now you're going to have to pay that sales tax. And I think that's what's really at the heart of the matter here. This 200 transaction here, this threshold is really low. And so I would urge the body to vote in favor of this amendment.
Okay, any other members for their first time? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, I hear a lot of discussion about the mom-and-pop shops paying this tax. The mom-and-pops aren't paying the tax. It's the people buying the information. They're just collecting it and sending it to the Department of Revenue. So this idea that this is going to hurt mom-and-pop shops is, in my opinion, irrelevant at this point. I don't believe that, you know, getting rid of the 200 transactions is a necessary movement. I don't think this is something that we need to be concerned with. And frankly, I think that the chairman of revenue made it very, very explicitly clear that we need to be in line with similar situations here that are happening around this just to attempt to make sure that this does not have any potential pitfalls in it in the future. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. For the bill against the amendment, just some more information since I used to work in a business actually with my ma and my pa. You know, we had an auction company that, and it's a couple last year's was mostly in interstate and international. But I was just going to say, any of these platforms that we're talking about, if you're some individual seller and you're making these and you're using one of those, almost every national platform with all those names that I can't say have this capability to calculate your tax rate by zip code and send in those taxes. So don't be afraid of this, oh, I'm using 200 transactions on one of these online retail sites or the sites that allow me to sell my products or my goods. They all have this capability and this technology. I shouldn't say all of them, but any reputable one, because this is in other states.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to give a visual picture, and I'm against this amendment. So if we have a Wyoming business located in a rural area of Wyoming and they're selling 200 of these trinkets, they are collecting the sales tax. So I don't know that I feel like they should have more regulation than this other person in another area of the country. Remember, these are out-of-state sellers who would pick this up. So if that seller is selling 200 trinkets in our state, they're probably selling 400 in the state immediately east of us, 600 in the state south of us, another 150 in the state north of us, maybe 4,000 in the state on the far west coast against the ocean, and you're obviously up into thousands and thousands and thousands more than the in-state small business person who is collecting the tax. So I'm not sure that I feel that I should have more sympathy for the out-of-state seller selling thousands of items and taking his income and spending it in his community than I should feel for the person in rural Wyoming selling 200 and spending that money in our community. So I think maybe the sympathy is misplaced in this situation. So I would vote against the amendment.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just like to point out, and certainly can be verified by some of the other experts in the room, but it seems like when I was had such a license and was responsible for remitting such payments, depending on my sales volume over a certain period of time, I had the option of monthly, quarterly, or annual remittances. And in that case, if we're talking about a small purveyor in a remote state, you know, they're not going to be doing this for every transaction or even every month's transaction. It may be one time per year where they actually make their remittance. But just keep that in mind, as I believe that is that same process would take place for these folks as well as it does for us in this state. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Jennings.
Mr. Speaker, I think a couple of speakers earlier, there was a mention about how much we need to be like the other states. And if the good chairman would refresh our memory, I think that we're actually, there's less people that are doing this, or less states doing this than there are currently that are doing it. And I think, you know, we look at that interstate commerce, we don't want to come to a place where it's this for that, you know. If eventually the feds are going to resolve this issue. So on and for the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, thanks for the good remarks and the good debate. I guess the last thing I want to leave you with is that these are not ma and pa operations like you would picture in your hometown. These are big marketers. Remember, Wyoming is about, I think it's 0.02% of the population of the United States. You extrapolate those 200 transactions, it's quite a screen that they'd have to meet in order to be eligible to or to be required to buy a sales tax license. And the other thing that you have to remember is that uniformity is what will make this effort successful. You know, if we're the oddball, it's going to just add an argument that makes some sense that we don't have uniformity among the states anymore. So please oppose this.
Anyone else before the sponsor? Representative Edwards.
If we're looking for uniformity on sales tax, anybody that sells anything in Wyoming has to pay a tax on it. Why do we have a number on it? It should be any product sold in Wyoming shall remit their sales tax. Any business that sells across the state of Wyoming should remit it. Why not go there? I am in favor of this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, members, the amendment really has to do with that 200 transactions. It doesn't have to do with the $100,000. I am not opposed to the bill in its content of what it's trying to do. However, it gives me a lot of heartburn when we start meddling in businesses, because you think about it, as a business, they have to keep track of not only now $100,000, or they have to keep track of their sales, and that's a given. They're going to do that anyway, but now they have to keep track of the number of transactions. And if they're selling a low volume, if they get maybe to that 150, 200 range online, they're going to have to pay particular attention to that. Otherwise, they're going to be breaking the law. I think it's just very prudent and more incumbent upon this body if we would just simply make it $100,000. Forget the transactions. Let's just make it a dollar amount and then pass the bill. But as it stands right now, the way that it is, it does give me a lot of heartburn. And I've teetered on this thing back and forth. I've been for it. I've been against it. I really feel that this is just applying the existing sales tax to a sector that we haven't applied it to. However, when we start meddling and we put other conditions, we start talking about numbers of transactions and all this kind of stuff, boy, that really starts to turn me off real quick. And so I'm not sure if I could actually vote for this bill if we don't pass this amendment. So I would urge your aye vote.
Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Anyone who spoke their first, now their second before the sponsor? Representative Gray.
A couple things here. Mr. Chair, I think we do have one more individual that wants to speak on this amendment. Okay.
Representative Gray.
A couple things here.
Representative Gray, hold on one second. Members, when we have two opportunities to speak on second and third reading, in order to have a second time, you have to have spoken your first time. Okay, and so I keep that list of those folks. So, and we generally then try to give folks their second time at the mic, and as a courtesy, give the sponsor of the amendment the final say. So that's where we're at now. Everyone who has spoken a first time that wanted to speak a second time has. And now we're at the sponsor, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple things on the threshold here. Talked about this when this came before the body for first reading, is that it's not even 200 transactions. I mean, we have a great business in the state directly south of us in the northern part of the state that sells non-alcoholic apple cider. I love it. And I probably do 35, 40 transactions a year there. Well, that's going to take five people who have a similar attitude in our state before they meet the threshold. 40 times 5, and then they're there. And then that business is going to face a decision. They're probably going to stop providing these services to the state. There's not enough scale here in our state. It's great that we have our low population, but it also puts us at a disadvantage in these situations. We have to consider the consequences. So now suddenly you're going to have a great product that our citizens are not going to be able to access. And this is what the founders understood when they inserted the Interstate Commerce Clause. Because if you're going to maximize utility, you have to be able to access those products from our friends who live in other states who are doing great work. Another point here that I think needs to be made on our mom-and-pop businesses in the state is that we're in isolation right now. The Quill decision from 1992 has been made by the Supreme Court. Now South Dakota has acted. Okay? If we act, there is going to be a tit-for-tat response. And so suddenly you can have a state to the west of us on our west coast that has over 30 million people that say, we want to do the same thing that our neighbors to the east are doing. And suddenly our mom-and-pop businesses are going to be subject to that, and there is a market of over 30 million people there for our mom-and-pop businesses. We have the lowest population, and we're opening our mom-and-pop businesses up to similar tit-for-tat actions by states that have much higher populations. So we're hurting our mom-and-pop businesses in our state if we do not remove this provision. Because we're in isolation. The Supreme Court has this 1992 decision that is still active, and yes, it's being re-adjudicated in the courts, but right now, we just have isolated states taking action here, and we can't assume that if we do this that other states aren't going to do the same thing to us. And the founders understood that as well. And that's also why they put in the Interstate Commerce Clause, so that this tit-for-tat mentality wouldn't play out. The other thing I would say is, why do they want uniformity? I have a lot of discussion about how the individuals who are sponsoring this effort really want uniformity. Well, there's a reason. It's because they want to tax our people. And there's a reason that the great senator from this state is doing a great job, but he's brought forward a piece of legislation at the federal level to try to simplify it. There's a reason it's gone nowhere. It's because the conservative base of one of our parties doesn't want it. And that's why it's gone nowhere at the federal level. Thank you. I ask for favorable consideration of the amendment.
Okay, thank you. Now the question being called, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 19, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 19 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration, division being called, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 3, please stand. If we could make sure you stand in front of the bar so we can see everyone clearly who's standing. Okay, 22. Those opposed, please stand. More than 22. Third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 19 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 19, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I won't belabor the point. Some of the previous conversation would apply here, but it is slightly different in this one way. It just moves the thresholds up a little bit. By the way, I have to compliment the good chairman of revenue for the use of the word voluminous. That was a wonderful way to start today. 200 transactions could be for rather small items at times. And when you look at the accumulation of those 200 transactions for a small item, that can set a fairly low threshold. And so by moving it up to 400, not by taking the restriction off, but just by moving it up just a bit, I think it could be helpful, really, when we're trying to collect those taxes. And secondly, setting it from 100,000 to 250,000, I think, is just a moderate, more common sense approach on this, and will allow for smaller businesses who may be right on the threshold of taking off and doing well, instead of running headlong into this tax in the state of Wyoming. I think it would be more helpful for them, and also allow them to provide goods and services to the state of Wyoming that could otherwise be jeopardized here. When it comes to uniformity, I appreciate the discussion, but I also heard in the previous discussion that a lot of this is just a software fix. It's just a matter of setting something in software, and so it should be fairly easy to do. I don't think it would be an undue burden on the individuals who make these transactions. I think it would not jeopardize then some goods and services that we could potentially receive here. And it's just a moderate measure to try to address this. Thank you.
Anyone else? Chairman Barlow, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move to divide the amendment between lines 5 and 6, with lines 6 through 10 being Division 1, and the lines 1 through 5 being Division 2. And I'd like to speak to Division
8. Chairman Barlow, the Speaker rules that amendment is divisible, and so it is divided between lines 5 and 6 on the amendment, lines 6 through 10 being division number 1, lines 1 through 5 being division number 2. So we are now on division number 1 for your first time, Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We had the discussion on the last amendment about no transactional number because of dollar amounts. And I think this actually increasing the transactional number as being presented in this amendment is a step in the right direction towards the dollar amount, which is represented above in the bill, not in this amendment. That's why I wanted to strike out or have them considered separately. So I would ask that 400 be considered as, you know, a compromise towards the 100,000, which is in the current bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time on division number 1? Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I welcome that division. I even contemplated bringing that. So I just everything that the gentleman before me just said, I appreciate and I agree with. And I do think that this allows for us to have a compromise between the two positions that we currently hold.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Excuse me for looking like a computer geek up here, but I had to work out these fractions, and I couldn't do them in my head. But, you know, aside from the fact, you know, and I've said it over and over again, aside from the fact that there's a very valuable attribute to being uniform from one state to the other, and the scratch points, I just can't stress how important that is. And if we decide that 200 is too little and 400 is just right, I just don't understand the logic of it. Let me give you an example. At the 200, we're trying to determine what's big and what's small. But at 200 in Wyoming, that would be equivalent to 12. It'd be 129,000 transactions state nationwide. Okay, that's how small we are relative to the total. I just don't see the wisdom of making the bill in this state from this state look like an oddball compared to the other 21 or 22 when we're talking about those kind of numbers. I think we're not talking about the correct thing here. We're trying to make a scratch line as to who is big and who isn't big. And I think that if you make 259,000 transactions, a year, you're big. So $129,000 is still big, and I think that's the number we should stick by, but that's all I'll say on that.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am in support of Division One. Anything we can do to raise the bar has my support. I have a mom and pop craftsman in my precinct, and when the worm turns, this small operation is going to be subjected to collecting taxes for every other state. And I just don't want to go down this road. I support Division One, but we'll probably end up voting no on the bill.
Anyone else for their first time on Division One? Anyone else for their first time? We're now on second time. Anyone before the sponsor, which is Representative Winters? Anyone? I only have two that would like to speak for their second time. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the comments that have been presented thus far, and 200 transactions may or may not represent large sellers. That statement hinges upon a supposition. The supposition being that these transactions are occurring at the same rate all across the country. It is dependent upon a certain kind of uniformity that one cannot guarantee. And so we cannot build law based upon supposition. I would just lay that out. Secondly, I do appreciate the collective wisdom and genius of our sister states. But I would imagine that if all of them are agreeing in every identical proposition here, that it isn't because of a collective wisdom. It's because of a certain group that would be driving this forward. So I would say this. It is not always bad to be the oddball. You know, in my day job, I constantly am trying to help young people understand that peer pressure shouldn't be what drives them. And in this particular case, I don't believe that we need to bow to peer pressure on this issue. I also spoke with the advocacy groups that spoke in front of the interim committee and just try to find out if this was going to be something that would be damaging to the overall gist here, and they said absolutely not. This is just fine. Really what will drive this forward is the bill overall. Where we set these numbers is not going to be a problem. It'll help us in the state of Wyoming, but they didn't see anything deadly in this particular idea. So I just wanted you to know I did my homework. Don't bow to peer pressure. It's okay to be an oddball. And don't make all your decisions when they hinge upon a supposition. Thank you.
Okay, we are voting on division number one to third reading amendment number four to House Bill 19. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Division number one has failed. We are now on division number two. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On this particular division, just setting the bar a little higher, again, whether it's transactions or dollar amounts, I would encourage you to not look at that $100,000 with the idea that this represents millions and millions of dollars all across the country. Again, that's based upon a supposition, which may or may not be true. And so I would not want to capture a company that's right on the threshold of becoming very successful in their business and then basically stunt their growth at this particular point. I think by moving this up, it will actually benefit business in general. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Representative Furphy. Mike, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to remind everyone that we had testimony from the Wyoming Retailers Association, at our revenue committee meeting.
Representative Furphy, and I just remind all the body, if we could refrain from using proper names of individuals and organizations. Thank you. Please continue.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. I apologize. Anyway, we had a retail organization. I'll put it that way.
There you go. Well done, Representative.
A retail organization testified at our committee meeting, and they are very much in favor of the amounts reflected in the original bill, and we had discussion about changing the amounts, and they were not in favor of doing so. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 2, Representative McGuire?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to speak against the amendment, and I'd like to speak as a retailer. And everybody, we need to remember that this is about Wyoming retailers. And if you're a retailer, you go out and typically you buy from a distributor. And back in the good old days, when you used to be able to Keystone stuff and mark it up 100%, that was great. Nowadays, with the internet, you're lucky if you get 20 to 25% markup. And so you got your shelf stocked, and let's say you have a $100 item. And you get people come in today with their iPhone with a barcode reader, and they read the price tag, they read the barcode, and they actually go, well, you know what? I can get this on the internet for $89. Because you can buy things directly from the distributors now. So your retailer has to go out there, they have to buy it, they have to ship it in, they have to build a store, they have to pay local sales tax, they have to buy insurance, they have to employ people. They put it on the shelf, and they're barely surviving at a 25% markup, and now you got you're working directly against the distributors. And even if it's not the distributor, even if they want 6% off or 5% off, well, guys, that is just about the difference between surviving and failing in a retail business, especially in a small town. And everybody's talking about the tit for tat. Well, I can tell you, I guarantee you, if you sell something on the internet to the state of Florida, guess what? You better collect the sales tax for the state of Florida, and you better remit it to the state of Florida, or they will send you a letter and say, where's our sales tax? And if you say, well, I didn't know and I didn't collect it, guess what they say? Sorry, send it to us anyway. It's already in action. There are many states in the country. I don't have the list anymore because I've been out of it for a while. But I would say the majority of the states require you to collect sales tax if they find out. And the people who are here in the state who are trying to run a store in Gillette or Casper or wherever, man, they are just barely making it. And to be competing against these big, huge internet retailers, and I'll just add one other thing. Some of these internet retailers, they've got a big steel building out somewhere, usually it's in Montana or someplace where there's no sales tax, and they don't have a storefront, they don't pay any sale, or they don't pay any property tax. They've got zero overhead. And when you place an order, they go out, they put it in a box, and they ship it to you. And yeah, it's great. And I would just add one other thing, and that's human nature. When people do go and look on the internet to buy something, and you guys all do the exact same thing, you never look at how much it costs to get it shipped to you. You just look at the price, and you think, hey, man, I can save 5%. I'm not going to pay my sales tax. And you never see that they charge you $15 or $18 or $28 to ship it to you, because that just doesn't enter into the equation when you're ordering it. So I would speak against this, and I am in favor of the bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And I'd remind members that when we refer to the Sunshine State or the state north of us, that we refer to it in that way. And thank you. Minority Floor Leader Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the division and in favor of the bill, I'd just like to remind the body when we talked about this in the committee of the whole that the reason that we have these floors right here is so that there's not an undue burden on these companies from out of state. and that looking at what that burden is on this division right here, that $100,000 translates to $50 million in online sales. And so if we're going to go 2.5 times higher than that, that's $125 million. I mean, right now, $50 million is not a small business. And so I would encourage us, as previous speakers have talked about with other divisions, to consider that our own companies, our own small businesses here in the state are paying those taxes, and that at $50 million in online sales a year, I'd love to see those taxes here in the state. So against the division and in favor of the bill.
Representative Flitner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to speak to the small mom and pop discussion. I come from a small communities. I see directly what online sales have done to our small mom and pop businesses. In fact, in the community that I live nearest, a mom and pop business that has been in business for 70 plus years recently went out of business. And I could probably say that the reason for that end of business is directly related to online sales. So just bear that in mind, because I live with this fact that we are seeing the loss of these businesses. And so I'm speaking against the amendment and for the bill. Thank you.
Any other members for their first time on Division 2? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The only thing I want to add, well, a couple of things I want to add. The bringer of the amendment talked about, well, it doesn't mean that it, you know, everybody buys at the same rate per 100,000 people in all across the states. But on the other hand, there could be a larger or a smaller than proportionate expected amount sold in Wyoming, which would cause the numbers to grow. And let's talk about those numbers. The minority floor leader talked about 50 million. Actually, my calculations show it's 65,900,000. So what we're talking about here is you have to be that big before this kicks in. And if you're smaller than that, if sales are uniform across the country, that's what it would be. What the bill is proposing, or what the amendment is proposing, is that it go up to 164 million. We've only got, I think, two or three remote marketers in the United States that are that big. You know, we've got, a lot of them that are big, and to me, 164 million is big, and I think that we're being overly generous, setting the scratch line at the value you find in the original bill. So please vote against this amendment, too.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 2? Anyone for their second time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I do appreciate the robust debate that has happened here. And I think that we all profit from it when it occurs. And so on this, I just wanted to bring this amendment to allow for us to consider the threshold. And again, just to mention even some of the millions of dollars that have been proposed here, that, of course, is based upon a supposition. And, of course, we are trying to capture those businesses that have, as the good chairman spoke of, voluminous sales, and I appreciated that. But, again, the advocacy group that was mentioned, they looked at this and felt that it was fine. So, with that being said, Mr. Chairman, I cede my time.
Okay, we're voting on Division Number 2 to Third Reading Amendment Number 4 to House Bill 19. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Division Number 2 has failed. We are now back on the bill. House Bill 19, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Allen, aye. Baker?
No.
Barlow?
Aye.
Biteman?
No.
Blackburn?
No.
Blake?
Aye.
Bovey?
Aye.
Aye. Brown?
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart?
Aye.
Aye. Bird?
Aye.
Aye. Clausen, excused. Clem?
No.
Connolly?
Aye.
Court?
Aye.
Crank?
Aye.
Dayton?
Aye.
Edwards?
No.
No. Eklund?
Aye.
Aye. Ayer?
Aye.
Flitner?
Aye.
Aye. Freeman?
Aye.
Aye. Furphy?
Aye.
Aye. Garou?
Aye.
Aye. Gray?
No.
No. Greer?
Aye.
Aye. Haley?
Aye.
Hallinan?
Aye.
Aye. Halverson?
No.
No. Henderson?
Aye.
Hunt?
Aye.
Aye. Jennings?
No.
No. Kinner?
Aye.
Aye. Kirkbride?
Aye.
Aye. Larson Lloyd?
Aye.
Aye. Larson Dan?
No.
No. Lindholm?
No.
No. Lone?
No.
No. Laux?
Aye.
Aye. McGuire?
Aye.
Aye. Madden?
Aye.
Aye. McKim?
No.
No. Miller?
Aye.
Aye. Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Northrup?
Aye.
Aye. Obermuller?
Aye.
Aye. Olson?
Aye.
Aye. Paxton?
Aye.
Aye. Pelkey?
Aye.
Aye. Piperinen?
No.
No. Ponell?
Aye.
Aye. Salazar?
No.
No. Schwartz?
Aye.
Aye. Summers?
Aye.
Aye. Steinmetz?
No.
No. Sweeney?
Aye.
Aye. Walters?
Aye.
Aye. Wilson?
Aye.
Aye. Winters?
Aye.
Aye. Zwanitzer?
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Speaker?
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Clem? Let me get you found. No to aye. Other changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 45 aye, 14 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 19, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 19 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 20.
House Bill 20, introduced by Representative Barlow. Honor and Remember Flag, an act relating to the display of flags. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 20. Members of the House Bill number 20 is for the Honor and Remember Flag, which would allow, with the verbiage of May, the flag to be displayed at any state leased or owned building or office in the state. I just think that before we vote on this, I'd like to have another discussion about what I consider to be pretty serious discussion on some pretty tender issues. We're going to discuss a reverent subject, which is how we honor those who have given their life for this country, which I think warrants thoughtful and respectful consideration. It also affects how we personally or perhaps collectively interpret the meaning of the United States flag. And as I have this discussion, as we have this discussion, I would also appreciate it to be known that I have the utmost respect for the sponsors of the bill, not only for their legislative ability, but for the service that they too have given to this country. The two issues that I think that I contemplate on this bill centers around those who have given their life for our country and ensuring that their families know that we have not forgotten their sacrifice. And the second is, what symbol or symbolic gesture can we best express or exhibit that the lives of these heroes are not forgotten. I went back after the Committee of the Whole discussion on this and looked at the website for the Honor and Remember flag, and the first paragraph that I read there is that in over the history of our country, there's never been a symbol to reflect the sacrifice or to honor the sacrifice of those people who have given their lives. And so I'd like to come back to the discussion that we had the other day, and that is I think that the ultimate symbol, the most significant symbol that this country has, is the flag of the United States. And when I look at that flag, I cannot do so. I cannot give the Pledge of Allegiance. I can't fold it. I can't get my hackles up when I see it burned in protest or stamped on without reflecting the lives of those people who give their lives for this country. When I see, it's always really quite touching to me when we see video or newsreels or pictures of caskets of fallen warriors come back into the United States or being returned to their families or at their funerals. And on the coffins of these fallen heroes is the flag of the United States of America. And to me, Mr. Chairman, I can't think of a greater honor and a more appropriate way to show our respect for those people than using the flag of the United States of America. Now, so is there any harm on having another flag? Well, perhaps not. But to me, I think that having another flag hanging underneath the premier symbol of this country to identify or to replicate something that I think is already represented in that flag dilutes the meaning of that flag. So I am trying not to be in any way disrespectful for the effort that this organization is trying to make. I just hope in some way to convey to them that we do honor and respect the lives of their loved ones that died for our country. And I am honored that we can salute this flag and remember them, that we can place this flag on their casket and remember them. In my family, we have two such flags, not for fallen warriors, but for the veterans. My grandfather, who served in World War I, whose flag my brother has, and the flag, I'm really not a boob, but the flag of my father, who's over my father's casket, who served in the Second World War, who my mother left to my son, who is a recent veteran from the Air Force. So, Mr. Chairman, those are kind of my words. I would like to and will withdraw this amendment at the appropriate time and would like to hear some other comments on the subject.
Okay, thank you, Chairman Larson. Representative Larson. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really respect the bringer of that amendment. I'm on and against the amendment, obviously, but I respect the thoughts and the words from the bringer of the amendment. I had the opportunity to speak with him about this piece of legislation and what it means. And so, full disclosure, I'm a veteran. Also, full disclosure, I worked on the United States Navy's funeral detail for a time period, and that was tough. That was while I was active duty, and that was over on the West Coast where lots of sailors live and die. And during that time, the bringer of this amendment is absolutely right. It was the American flag that we folded over those caskets. And that was a tough deal. And that's not what this piece of legislation is about. That's not what this this flag is about. It's not meant to take away from what the Stars and Stripes means. It doesn't take away from the seven volleys. It doesn't do anything like that. What this flag means, and this is a constituent issue because this was brought to me by a mother who lost her son, and she's passionate about this issue because she feels that there should be a way that we as states can join hands and help each other grieve when we lose someone. And this is a voluntary deal. The bill is a May. You don't have to fly this if you don't want, much like the POW MIA flag. This is a simply a May. So I've got some information on the flag because the United States flag can mean several things. This specific flag is one item. This means that you lost someone in your family. But the United States flag means multiple different things. We've got 13 stripes on the flag. 13. Red over white, and that stands for the 13 original colonies of this nation. We've got 50 stars on our flag that are surrounded by blue. That's the Union Jack, and those 50 flags stands for all 50 states. Now, I'm not taking away the United States flag and how it's folded into a perfect triangle and put on our mantles. As many sit on my mantle, because I come from, much like the bringer of this amendment, I come from a family that served. But don't get these crossed. We will forever fold the Union Jack over our lost ones. But this is for those that are left behind. These are for the moms and the dads. And I think that's why it's important. It's a way that they can grieve. There's no fiscal impact. This is a simple deal. And it's the moms and dads of today's lost that want this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment and against the bill, and those of you that have served for more than one term know that the military history in my family goes back 300 years, and I won't bore you all with a recitation of the wars and the people and all that, but and I respect and appreciate the purpose behind the development of the flag and the honor that people want to give to this issue. But the organization that designed it is a nonprofit. They've licensed the flag to some manufacturers who, of course, get part of the fee, and then some money goes back to the organization, and they use it to help veterans. And that's great. But I would just suggest that rather than add flags, if you want to donate to veterans' causes, donate directly. There are a lot of worthy veterans' causes, and give straight to them and bypass the flag manufacturers. And thanks to all who served, and I think you should vote against the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Blackburn.
Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, this is not about donating to veterans organizations at all. It's about honoring a fallen veteran and letting their family know that we do care. It's in 30-some-odd states already. If we were the first state to do this, I would say maybe we should question it. But how can we? I ask you to vote yes on this bill.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So this bill was brought from a family in my community, and I have several families in my community, as many of you do, that have experienced loss in combat, in military service, in the last 15 years. And when this symbol we're talking about, we're not competing with the symbol of this great nation. We're not competing with the symbol that we pledge to every day. This is not a competition. This is another way to recognize and thank and appreciate and simply honor and remember, remind ourselves to honor and remember those who actually gave that ultimate sacrifice. Now, we put it on our license plates. The family can put it on their license plates. The same way we can honor those who graduated from that great institution over the hill, we put that on license plates. We do a lot of things to recognize things that are important to us in a variety of different ways. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a way to once a year or twice a year or whatever they may choose to do, to have a flag that means simply one thing. Thank you for your ultimate sacrifice to this nation. We have one day set aside this year for that purpose, in the end of the fifth month. That's what this is about. And it's about those families not just looking at their license plates or looking at the flag folded on their mantle, which many of you have in your family's history, as I do. It's about the community gathering around a place saying, thank you for that service. Thank you for that ultimate service. So, ladies and gentlemen, I respect the two folks that have spoken against the bill and recognize that there are differences, but in no way does this diminish that wonderful flag that stands right next to the speaker. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Ask for your favorable consideration of the bill.
Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, I rise to speak on and against HB 20. And it's an emotional thing. I'm not going to get long-winded with you. I just want to say what the good legislator from House District 54 stated. I mean, it's a toughie. I sit on military affairs, and there's many issues that come before us, and this bill did not come out of that committee, but they're somewhat emotional and hard to vote against, period, because we all have great respect for the people that have served, and I have not. I fell in a period of time where it was not even a selective service anymore. And we all have respect for these people. But when I heard the word dilute, that's sort of where I came down. And I will not support this. And I hope people understand why there's two sides to this. And thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else for their first time? Representative Winters.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And I have listened to the debate, and I've really appreciated it because all people involved have shown a tremendous level of love and appreciation for those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. And I have ministered with families that have lost loved ones, and I've made the statement before that they stand as silent sentinels over everything that we do. And I appreciate what they did on behalf of their country. But also I can tell you firsthand that the living loved ones that they leave behind grieve, and many times in a way that's very difficult for us to really grasp. And I believe that their sacrifice with a flag such as this, if it's honored by a flag such as this, would be a wonderful thing to have. Also, in the bill itself, I would direct your attention to page number 2, line 9, and I think this is key. It is a may display. It is not a shall. It's a may. And so this is not requiring anyone to do anything, but it does give us the opportunity to recognize those living loved ones that have a fallen hero. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will be surprised which way I vote on this bill because both sides have compelling arguments. But as I sat here and listened to the debate, I remember going to the doorstop of a constituent this fall. In the front of the house was an American flag flying. And you walked up to the door, and it's one of those doors, one door but two wings on it. And in the window were banners, small banners, I think with a star. I can visualize it, but I can't describe it. And I immediately thought that those banners were representing somebody that was serving in our armed forces today. The lady that that approached or came to the door was in her 80s, and I asked if those were for her her grandchildren. And she says, no, it's from my brothers. My parents had those hanging in the windows when they were serving in World War II. I think that this woman would love to have a flag because she described that she lost one of her brothers in the war. I don't like the idea of a nonprofit kind of guiding where we're going. But on the flip side of that is I think that this is a woman who would love to fly an additional flag on Veterans Day.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was just going to rise the first time to speak a second time, but I'll say my piece and then sit down. I'm on this bill. You know, it's an interesting thing, and I just wanted to throw this in here. It's a little bit new. When we put in for bill drafts, usually you don't have a conflict. In other words, someone else doesn't usually run the same bill. An interesting little factoid about this bill is that not one, not two, but three different legislators who had no prior contact with one another went ahead and approached LSO to draft this bill. I was one of them. And I didn't receive any kind of pressure or outside influence. Hey, would you please run this bill? I've been to several of these honor and remember flag ceremonies. And I was moved by it. I was touched by it. And I felt that this was something that our state should consider and should do. And just a note also on the nonprofit thing, and I just want to push back a little bit. You know what? If you were to get an off-market, I guess, or one of these honor and remember flags made by somebody else, I can almost guarantee you this organization isn't going to buck and kick and get mad at you or all upset because you didn't buy from them. It really is about honoring and remembering the ultimate sacrifice that a person can make for this country. So on and against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My throat's a little raw, so I'll try to be brief. 2012, I ran a bill, House Bill 22. This is for the Gold Star license plate. It had already been passed, but it was for parents, grandparents, and spouses only. Well, we were approached in the Transportation Highway Military Affairs Committee. We decided not to run that as a committee bill, but I ran it as a bill in a budget session to include children or a brother and sister. People grieve in different ways, whether it's a Gold Star license plate, whether it's this flag we're talking about, whether it's the POW MIAs we're thinking about and missing. This is a good bill against the amendment and for this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other members for their first time? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment for the bill, I just want to make it perfectly clear. There's nothing in this bill that precludes you if it does fail. Nothing that precludes you as an individual from raising this flag at your own house. I think that's an important distinction. What we're looking at doing here is we're looking at allowing the state-owned, county-owned, and city-owned government buildings to fly this flag underneath as a symbol of our appreciation. And I think it's an important distinction to make that we're not saying that you can't fly this at your house. I think we just need to let our, in my opinion, I think it's something that we should be allowing the municipalities and the counties and the state government to decide if they want to fly this, again, on and for the bill and against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their second time? First time? Go ahead. Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a an important topic. So I want to reserve my chance to talk a second time. I have a lot of problems with the bill being a veteran only because we have a symbol that we're creating as an alternative to the symbol that we fight for. But I don't begrudge anyone the right to put this flag in remembrance of a fallen on a flagpole. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't going to speak. I was going to sit and listen, and I appreciate the bringer of the amendment to bring it, because I'm going to vote against this bill. And I, you know, I can't look at that flag without understanding all the sacrifice for everyone. And more importantly for me, with a son in a position where he's at and he's itching to be deployed, every time I talk to him and I look at that flag for all those fathers and mothers are out there, and for the sons that are going to be lost in the future, because it will happen again in the future. And I just, you know, it kills me that I'm voting against this bill, and it might be in some way construed that I do not have that deep respect for all the sacrifice of all the Americans that has been put out there for this country. But I just know, when I look at that flag, that's what I feel, and I know that in my heart. And I guess one of the questions are, is maybe we need to do a better job of making sure that when everybody looks at that flag, they understand that. So, for the amendment against the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for the first time? Okay, appreciate the great debate. We're moving on now to second time. Is there anyone for their second time before the sponsor of the amendment? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I just want everybody to turn to page 2 on your bill. Page 2, line 8 through 11. Any county, city, town, or political subdivision of the state may display the honor and remember flag beneath the national flag on any day upon which the national flag is displayed. This is absolutely a may. Nothing in this should be construed as having to replace or having to stand for something that you don't feel it should stand for, much like the POW flag. This costs nothing, folks. So on and against the amendment for the bill, please keep that in mind, that we're not forcing anybody to do this. We're not forcing any families to do this. We're not forcing anybody to think anyway. We're just saying, if you want this flag and you want it flown in town, this is an option that you'll now have, an option. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time for the sponsor? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I'd like to thank the body for the discussion we've had here, and would especially like to thank the body for the reverence shown while we had the discussion. I think it was warranted, and I think that it certainly is appreciated. I would just like to, in closing, Mr. Speaker, make a couple of observations, and one that was already pointed out, but I would like to reinforce in response to the good representative, where the waters of the river are green, pointed that an individual may want a flag, and anybody can purchase a flag, hang it in their window, hang it from wherever they like. This bill has nothing to do with that. And from the good representative who was a sponsor of the bill points out that it certainly is a may, but it says it may be displayed in any county, city, town, or political subdivision. And so the question that's not addressed in the bill is, who makes that decision that it will or will not be hung? There was a comment that I, from my good colleague from up in the northeastern part of the state, that said that this would only happen once a year on the last day of May, but as pointed out from the last good representative, who is also a sponsor, the language of the bill says that it can be displayed beneath the national flag on any day upon which the national flag is displayed. Now, that may not be the intent, but it certainly is how the bill reads. I'm not here to argue. I think that the intent was to have a discussion, and I think that we were successful in doing that, Mr. Speaker. So at this time, I'd withdraw my amendment.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Larson. Third reading, Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 20 has been withdrawn. House Bill 20 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. No. Baker. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovey. Aye. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Byrd.
Aye. Clausen, excused. Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Aye. Henderson. Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
No.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Are there any changes? Closing vote. Are there any changes? Hallinan? Aye to no? Any changes? Madden? No to aye? Laux? No to aye? Further changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 46 aye, 13 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 20, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 20 has passed the House. Appreciate the great debate. I think that's the House of Representatives really at its finest. So congratulations to all members. And I think Representative Larson said, too, I think just the whole decorum in the House is really at our best. So I appreciate it. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House stand in recess until 2:15.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The House is in recess until 2:15 p.m.
Committee announcements?
Committee announcements.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Your committee
number 7 corporations will meet immediately in L51 to hear House Bill 80. You may have got some emails about that recently. Transportation network companies, as well as House Bill 92, if time, payment of wages.
Thank you. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 3, revenue, will be meeting tomorrow morning, Wednesday, January 18, at 7 a.m. We're going to be talking about House Bill 102, lodging tax rate, 131, disposition of lottery proceeds, number 54, taxable value of agricultural land, and number 67, determination of agricultural land for taxation.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Joint Appropriations Committee will be meeting at noon. The House Appropriations Committee will be meeting on adjournment. The notice had House Bill 109. That's been removed from the dockets. We will only be doing House Bill 13 and then 3 referrals, House Bill 8, House Bill 30, and House Bill 33. The House then will meet again on Thursday at noon, having 2 referrals, House Bill 66 and House Bill 11, and also House Bill 48, fiscal information on legislation. So that's noon on Thursday. Tomorrow, the Joint Appropriations begins their markup, and on markup we'll be meeting at 8 o'clock and at noon and on adjournment.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number one, Judiciary, will be meeting 10 minutes from now after noon recess. I note the meeting room change. It's in Jonah Room L54. We'll be considering two bills, House Bill 15, Sex Offender Registration Fees and Penalties, and House Bill 18, Child Abuse or Neglect in Military Families.
Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Transportation, Military, and Highway will meet upon adjournment to discuss House Bill 52 and House Bill 78.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the bills. Your Minerals Committee will meet on Wednesday at 8 o'clock. We'll consider in this order House Bill 70, House Bill 96, House Bill 49, and then if there is time, House Bill 42. Should be receiving a notice shortly on that.
Okay, thank you. Any other announcements? The House is in recess.
I'm just too hopeful. What did you do now? I'm just too hopeful.